next week doing...
It is.
And, you know, I really encourage you to just stay in faith. Stay in faith. Whatever part of the journey you are with your Lord, just keep pressing in. Pressing in and being hungry for Him. We're going to be talking about relationships and stuff like that. And sex. I don't know if you... Can you use that word in church? Yes. Sex. Yeah, sex. I've used it three times. I suppose I can, so... But you used it first. You used it first just before.
No, it is going to be a really great series, and I'm looking forward to doing it. In fact, we had a kind of a little... It's interesting that when you're about to do a series that, you know, you kind of have a relationship, little testing things that go on when you're about to launch into something. So, you know, we'll probably have a few illustrations, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be great for our church, and it's going to be great for our community. So, you know, if you know someone that just really is struggling in a relationship, bring them along, and they're just going to love it. It's about reaching our city, isn't it? So not just about us, not just about us getting it all together, but it's reaching and restoring our community. Right, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to do first is got a really, really important DVD, and I want you to watch this just with great intent, because I know it will just be life-changing. So let's throw that DVD up.
That's not how you fold the towels.
It doesn't matter how you fold a towel.
It does matter how you fold a towel. If you want it to fit in the closet, you have to roll it. Could you chew any louder?
This goes on here. It takes 2 seconds.
Well, then the next person who comes in, we'll do it.
That's not the point. Hey, did you throw away my leftovers?
No.
The toilet paper goes over. It's printed that way so you could see it.
No, the toilet paper goes under so that the cats don't get at it.
That makes no sense.
What do you want to get for dinner?
I don't really care.
Then just pick something.
You choose.
Told you.
I don't see why I have to put the utensils face down.
Because when they're sticking up like that, if someone trips and falls, they're going to impale themselves and die.
That's literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm not playing this game where I list every single thing and you shoot it all down. I'm not doing this again.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you.
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Well, then put it in 6 more inches. I get it.
Anything will be fine. It's food.
Fine. All right. We're going to get pizza.
Anything but pizza.
What do you want to eat?
Why am I going to put them away? I'm wearing them tomorrow morning.
I don't care if you're wearing them tomorrow morning. I don't want them just sitting by my side of the bed all night.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom. The next person doesn't have to squeeze then.
It's toothpaste. It's not like it's hard to squeeze it from a new area on the tube.
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made you make the decision. With that being said, I think your original call of pizza is fine. Just no pepperoni.
Life-changing. We're starting the series and meant to be, and you know that comes from an idea that you've probably heard people say, oh, look at that couple, look at those people, they're meant to be. Or you're with someone and you think, wow, you know, this is meant to be. And the idea is that there is an ideal, there is a desired end, that love would be so real and meaningful that you'd stand back and just go, oh, that's just meant to be. You know, I really did believe, and with all sincerity, that when I met Karen and we started to get together, that it was meant to be. And it's worse than that, Lynette. What I did is when I got back to Nelson, because I met Karen at Bible College, when I got back to Nelson, I went and saw my family, and I'm pretty sure it went something like this. I've met an angel. And I told everyone I met an angel, and much to Karen's horror. But the point is that I really believed it was meant to be. And coming from our perspective, it is, well, wait a minute, is God in that? Did God orchestrate? You know, God's brought us together. And I think really, really, God doesn't violate our will. And for him to actually to bring two people together, that he's behind the scene orchestrating it so that you've got no choice. I don't think it's quite like that. I think our choice is still involved. He has made us, though, that we would find that person, that one, where we would have something take place inside and we would come out with those words, it's meant to be. And I look at our marriage, and I'm not going to use our marriage as an example, but I look at our marriage and realize it's not perfect. I realize that we make mistakes and that we have moments. But you know what? I stand here and I say that our marriage is meant to be. And really, that's coming out of this place of just a dedication, a commitment, a belief in that ideal that it's meant to be. And I think that that's something that we can aspire to. What I wanted to talk to today, though, is not specifically about relationships, but in a broader term. I feel that there's something more fundamental as Christians that we should take hold of that impacts upon our relationships. And if we kind of have this right, and we have some good pointers that come from it, from the Word, then that will influence our relationships, relationships, whether they be romantic or otherwise. And so what I want us to do is turn in the Word to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse 9, it reads like this. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that your joy may be full, or the joy that may be in you will be complete, so that you'll be full of joy and it'll be complete joy. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And if you do what I command, let me just pause there. I want to read on a little bit more. Just let me pause there. Jesus right there is saying something astonishing, something extraordinary. In the context of him being a rabbi and a teacher, for him to come and say, look, you're my friends, straight away, that's saying something that was against the cultural norm. He's saying something that they didn't expect. He's saying that look, you know, we're on terms. God has revealed things to me. God has spoken things to me. I've spoken them to you. I'm not holding anything back. You're my friends. I'm not treating you like that you're subservient or that you're inferior to me. I'm treating you as an equal. I'm treating you as a friend. And so he's bringing that. They would have. I can see the disciples sitting there going, "Really? We're your friends? That's what it is. We're on that level with you." And so what Jesus was saying there was unusual, out of the ordinary. It was groundbreaking. It was countercultural, different from what was happening at that time. Verse 14, you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that fruit will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. This is my command, love each other. When we're reading in this part of Scripture, we find that Jesus is starting to open up this idea of friendship, that we're on a relationship with him that's more intimate, more personal than just a teacher and a student. Each one of us can be in the same place. The criteria that he puts there is to obey his command, and the command is to love one another. Obey that command, and we are his friend. So we're in this place of friendship with him, where we're connecting with him at a level that is not like other levels. Even in the New Testament was written in Greek. There are four ways of describing love. They have four words. One of them We don't actually use, it's not discovered in our language. It's talking about parental love. The Greek word means the type of love that a parent has for the child. The other, another word is eros love, not used in the New Testament either, but alluded to. We get the word erotic. It's talking about sexual love. And so there is parental love, there is sexual love. These are specific words describing the kinds of relationship. There's a love called agape love or agape love. And that's talking about this kind of self-sacrificing love. It's the love of God for man. It's not solely for that. It's the love of somebody that's just giving up their life for somebody else. Agape love. Complete, dedicated love in spite of the person or the circumstances or the things they do. And the final one is filio, and we get our word friend from that, and it means friendship. So Jesus here, he's saying, love one another, agape. He's saying, agape, have this love, the self-sacrificing, giving up of your own desires for others, looking after them, agape love. But he says, that's my command, agape love. And if you do this, you'll be my filio. You'll be my friend. And so Jesus, he's bringing a concept, not just about love. He's bringing a concept just about connection. He wants us to be on a friendship level with him. He wants his disciples to be on this level of friendship. So what does it look like? What does it look like for us as friends? Remember, we're talking about relationships, we're talking about meant to be, but what does it look like for you and I if we love one another and as a consequence, we are friendly? God reveals to Jesus, Jesus reveals to us because of friendship. Love one another, he wants us to be friends. He wants you to be friends. So I'm thinking, well, what does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean for you to be a friend to somebody else, to be a friend to each other? What are the things that make friendship worthwhile? You know, we all want to have friends. We all want to be, have friends around our world. We don't want to be in isolation. I think that people that are isolated and want to stay by themselves are unusual. I think that it's normal for us to want to be with friends. We're gregarious. We draw others in. So I have some pointers that may help with us being friendly. Just turn to the person beside you and say, can I be your friend? Keep asking until they nod their head and say yes. Peter, quick rescue us. Otherwise this scratch record will keep playing. I want us to have a look at a verse. I want to have a look at a verse in Luke chapter 6. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Verse 31, it's not on the screen, but I'll just read it, and then we'll have a look at verse 37. Verse 31 says this, do to others as you'd have them do to you. That's like saying what you would like, you know, do that to other people. How you would like to be treated, treat others. Then verse 37, it says this, do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Now, when you hear that, you know, give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running all out all over. It sounds like a good talk for an offering. It sounds like a good talk for finances. Give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken down, running out all over. That used to be a song. Pressed down, shaken together, running out. Okay, a long, long time ago. And I don't know that song. But it's not a talk about finances. That's not a talk about finances. That's a talk, believe it or not, about, ready for it? Not criticizing. Not criticizing. Now, I know it says, do not judge, and you'll not be judged. But the word for judge is, the Greek word gives us our word critique. It's from the same basis. And how often we criticize. You know, years ago, I worked in the New Zealand Police, and in Nelson for 2 years, I worked as the watch house keeper, which means I looked after the police station, and in particular the cells with prisoners in it. This was peculiar in New Zealand because Nelson has no prison. All the prisoners that are sent to jail for whatever reason have to go to Christchurch. And consequently, for short periods of time, Nelson doubles as a prison. Meant that it has extended cells, and we have often have as many as 16 cells with male and female prisoners in, and we arrange transport. And over the 2 years that I had all those prisoners, I met all sorts of people. Some people I went to school with. One guy used to be my best mate when I was a kid. Neighbours and friends and people, oh, I'm Nelson boy, you know everybody. And in all those years, I'd have all these people, and I really liked my job, and I had a good way with people, a good way of connecting with them. And so, you know, I'd just find out about them, what had happened, what was going on. Often people were just very ordinary, they'd done stupid things, and they're in trouble. But something I noticed about people, men and women, they weren't hard on themselves. They were like, you know, they'd murdered, stolen, lied, committed all sorts of violence or dishonesty, and for all sorts of reasons, and generally, they were okay with themselves. They weren't down on themselves like the rest of society. I mean, they're in jail. And they weren't hard on themselves. In fact, some even justified what they were doing, and they were actually doing a service. They didn't see themselves as bad people, but as good people. And some of them were particularly bad. Some of them could have been your next-door neighbor or your brother or sister, and I treated them like that and got on okay. It worked really well. But I was amazed to see how people that had done, in some cases, dreadful things, weren't hard on themselves. They would get up in the morning and look in the mirror, and they would feel really good about themselves and about life. Why is that? It's because we have this natural tendency not to be hard on ourselves. You don't criticize yourself. Generally, you don't look in the mirror and go, oh, you loser. Oh, you really made a mess of it yesterday. What are you going to do today? We don't do that. Sure, we feel guilty about some things, but we're very good at forgiving ourselves, aren't we? Come on, we're really good at it. When it comes to the dumb stuff I do, it's over in a moment. But when it comes to the dumb stuff that somebody else does, I'm not quite as forgiving. And you know what we want to do is we want to criticize. You know, because we feel kind of good when we can actually run somebody else down. You know, it's sort of like, you know, if Sam did something and I was to come to Sam and say, you know, Sam, you know, what you did, I mean, man. And so I'd say that. And, you know, Sam would be feeling smaller and smaller and, you know, I'd feel better and better. And finally, right, good. You know, so I feel really good because I've criticized Sam. Sam's feeling really stink because, you know, and do you know what? I don't think that that anything like that is actually going to build our relationship if I'm criticizing a person all the time. And so I believe that this verse here is telling us, it's giving us a secret of life to do with relationships that Jesus is saying. Let me put the word criticism in. Let's see what it looks like if we're not criticizing. Do not criticize, and you'll not be criticized. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. Give what? Give room. Give patience. Give understanding. Look at yourself. Look at someone else as you look at yourself, and give them a break. Not give them the rundown of what they did. My goodness, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over, be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. I believe one of the secrets of great relationships, one of the secrets that turns out to be in your romantic relationships as well, don't criticize your friends. Now, some of you think, but wait a minute, I've got to be honest. Of course we have to be honest. But imagine now if honesty just meant that I could walk up and say, right, I just need to be honest, Emily, and tell her a whole lot of stuff, which I think, you know, is going to help her because I'm just being honest and run her down. And then honest to Lynette, and then honest to Tino. Oh, come on, I can be honest. Come on, let's all be honest to each other. We can walk around and slap each other around in the cause of honesty. And realize that we're just using the word honest as an excuse to criticize. Try and imagine it this way. Honesty is important. Let's say it's to do with swimming. Now, we're going to go swimming. Now, being honest is saying, well, look, the water is deep. That's being honest. Yeah, we're going to swim, but the water's really deep. An issue of a person can't swim. Being honest is saying, we're going for a swim, but the water's really cold. Typically, that's my problem. Karen will say, oh, the water's warm, but I know that it's freezing. She just says that, and I won't go in. Or the weather is really rough. And so that's being honest about the circumstances. Different from saying, oh, I want to go swimming, but I've watched you doing freestyle. And you just don't do it right. Look, you're supposed to go like that and come in underneath like that, and you kind of do this. It's just, do you get the difference between being honest and criticizing? Being honest is being real about life circumstances with your friends. But criticism is what you observe about them that you don't like or don't think they're doing right, and you try and put it right by telling them how bad it is. Criticism. Say, shouldn't I? I've got to criticize. I've got to criticize because I'm an employer or I'm in a workplace, and we've got to be sure. There might be places, but I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about your friends. You don't need to criticize your friends. Your friend might come and ask you for an honest opinion about something. Great, that's what friends do. But you don't need to run your friend down. Point out their bad things. Why do it? All you do is make them resentful, build up barriers that when we're actually speaking out like that. And so I'm thinking, I don't criticize myself. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Don't criticize your friends. Don't judge them. Accept them. You think, wow, this is novel. This is a new... Listen, we will still do it. But if you go from here today thinking, the basis of a good relationship with my friends... Remember, when you get in a romantic relationship, well, that's a friend as well. If you start practicing with your friends not criticizing, you'll find it has a benefit in all your relationships. And that means you don't have to be honest. Some people say, hey, can I just give you some creative critique? I just want to give you some creative critique. That's like just being creative in your criticism. You know, I just want to be really imaginative in my criticism. I don't want to just give you ordinary criticism. I want to give you really devastating criticism. You know, I'm sure that there's a place where we can come and, you know, I'd rather a friend is. In fact, the word says this, that the wounds of a friend are good. Because the flattery of someone that doesn't love you is devastating. But the wounds of a friend are kind. The wounds of a friend are kind. That's what Proverbs say. And it's saying that a friend will be true to you and actually, you know, will tell you the truth. You're going out with who? You're gonna be joking. Are you smoking dope? That person's just after something to get it off you. Your friend can say that to you. Your friend can be honest about the water, but your friend will not criticize you. A friend will not run you down. So that's the first thing I really believe is important. When I see Jesus talking about friendship, what he's doing is he's saying, I believe he's bringing us to a place of you know, it's so easy to be judgmental. Have high expectations that become a rod and beat ourselves up. And it's not in our nature. Our nature is to forgive ourselves. And I think we should be forgiving each other. A great basis for relationship. But there's something else that goes with that. I'm going to aim for two today. Don't criticize your friend. Don't criticize your friend. Second one, sincerely compliment your friend. Sincerely compliment your friend. Now, why I say sincerely is so that you don't flatter. You don't want to be flattering somebody, going on and on. Oh, you're amazing. You know, oh, Kevin, Yeah, you know, you're amazing, Kevin. This morning, you helped putting the chairs out. That was amazing. Oh, you know, Kevin, I could go on, and Kevin did help put the chairs out, and thank you very much. But if I actually started going on, you know, Kevin would begin to feel awkward. Or if I'm saying something because of, you know, I'm just trying to get some purchase, you know, some advantage, or I'm just doing it for my own benefit, I'm flattering. You know, I'm just doing it because I just want to, who knows, just, you know, for my own reason. That's different from sincere praise. Sincere praise. I think we should be lifting each other up. Lift your friends up. Find something. Can you see how this would be beneficial in a relationship? Do you think this would be helpful in a relationship? Imagine you're in a relationship and you don't criticize and you're finding ways to sincerely praise that person. And so, you know, I know that something that has been really, for me, is amazing over the 8 years I've been here, is the very first person I met was Jim. He picked me up at the airport when I come to visit one time. It was both of us. Drove us in the old church van. And ever since I've known Jim, he has always been positive. He sits forward in his seat, his eyes lit up. He's got his heart and his head in the game. And I just so appreciate Jim. And that's the truth. I'm not trying to flatter him, but I have taken this moment just to recognize that in you, my friend. I think we should be people that are aiming not to criticize our friends, but instead looking to give genuine compliments. Finding the genuine compliment. Finding the comment that we can say that's going to build them up and give them courage. That's why it's called encouraging. That we are encouraging in what we do and what we say. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. An anxious heart weighs a person down, but a kind word cheers them up. Let's be people that are bringing kind words, finding the kind word to say. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 25. Now that verse there was on the screen. Do we have that one on the screen? Oh, you've already seen that one. Yeah, so this is a different verse. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says this: a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I didn't give you that one to put on the screen. That's all right. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. It's kind of drawing this idea that a word that builds up is something really treasured, really special. And when I look at our relationships, when I think about how we connect with people, when it becomes a romantic relationship, if we have at the basis good friendship principles, if we have at the basis of who we are, good ways of dealing with our friends, and we let that flow into our romantic world, that we're setting a really good basis. When I look at the word and I see Jesus, he was bringing the disciples to a place of saying, be friends. He didn't just say, be loving, because that can be quite nebulous. Just be loving. Love the world. I love the world. I love everybody. There's 7 billion people on the planet. So love is kind of, it's all-encompassing. Yes, I love everybody. Excellent. But Jesus is saying, what about friends? Are you being a friend to somebody? Are you being a friend? You know, soon we're going to have a wedding, Peter and Emma. Westlake, apparently, honey, according to you. Is that right, Peter? I find that very astonishing. I wouldn't criticize. I thought it was hilarious. And but what I really thought that was really I didn't know just until the other night that Ian is your going to be your best man. Is that right? Groomsman.
Lock your house and hide the keys. Yeah.
No, Peter is fully aware of this. He's fully aware of Ian's shenanigans. So, groomsman, and how long have you guys been friends? All right, so 10 years coming on. And, you know, I've always admired that in these guys. I think you guys flattered together for a while. And Andrew. Hey, look. The Three Stooges, that line right there. And so friendship, look how powerful that is. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they relate to each other well. I haven't been privy to how they, but I bet they're not up in each other's face criticizing each other. And I assume that when they get it right and they notice it, because guys are guys, it has to be pretty obvious. With a lady, it's a bit different. With a guy, it's sort of, oh, mate, you did awesome. What you did just then was amazing. He said, come and look at my car. I've just polished it. Oh, man. You know, because guys get a lot of satisfaction out of the things we do. Ladies, it's a little different. But we can find ways to just show our appreciation. The words that we use to build up and give courage, the things we say, can actually bring praise. Now, I don't mean to the exclusion of God or anything like that, anything weird. It's just a principle that with our friends, we should be finding ways to lift them up, finding ways to encourage. We should be finding ways to give a compliment that's from a genuine heart, and that's okay. It's okay to do that. So, that's the lesson today. That's That's the God, I believe, the God principle. When you go from here today, you think, wow, to be a friend, it's important that I don't criticize, and it's important that I bring genuine compliments. I want you to take hold of that. There's a whole lot of things we can do in friendship. Take hold of that. There's another reason why we should take hold of it. When somebody comes into church, they're not worried about your theology. You might be able to talk them and convince them that your theology is all correct and that you know everything from go to woe. They're not that worried about that. They're not worried about how you think church should be run and organized. That's not high on their agenda. When somebody comes into a church, you know what makes the difference for them? That somebody is their friend. That there's a friend there. And all that other stuff will just fall into place. It will work itself out. But as a church, our job, I believe, and Jesus was saying, he was showing his disciples, look, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you students. I no longer call you subservient. I'm calling you friends. God's given me this. I'm giving it to you. I want you to be friends. And when you do that, you'll end up loving people. You'll end up fulfilling the command to love people. So someone comes through the doors of church, they are not looking for great worship, that might be important. They're not looking for beautiful seats, that might be comfortable. Do you know what every single person's looking for? Friends. Looking for friendship. And if we've got the keys for that, they'll discover it here. Not only that, you're now starting to form a great foundation for the relationship you're in or going to be in. Your romantic relationship will be so much stronger, so much sounder, because with your friend, you don't criticize them and you give them genuine compliments as often as you can. Amen? I'm going to pray, and then we'll close for today. Lord, I thank you, my God, for the truth of your word is so simple. Lord, that often we take it and we make it so complicated, but really, Lord, we thank you that it's in the simple things that you're speaking to us. Today, Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, we have a new perspective of don't judge and you won't be judged. A new perspective of relationships which just feel so abundant, pressed down, shaking together, running out all over. A new perspective that affects not just our relationships with those in our world, our friends and our family and those close to us, but our romantic relationships, our marriages, our connections, Lord, with those that Lord, we'd want to love on a different level. That underneath is this principle of being a good friend. And Lord, we pray today as a church family. And we ask, Lord God, that as people come through the doors of our family, our church family, as they come through the doors of this building, and they come into our community, that they discover something. They discover friendship. We ask this, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that we would be friend makers on planet Earth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, we're just going to finish there, and please don't rush off. Stop and have a coffee. But Karen and I will be up the front here. If you would like prayer for anything,